KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
And coming up, the top five at five among our top stories.
I'm Ryan Harris with the local issues with COVID vaccine supply and concern over increasing spread.
The state capitol remains on high alert. I'm Charlie Harger with more.
And those stories, plus we'll have the latest on traffic and weather, too. It's 5 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Security is tight in Washington, D.C. Heading into the inauguration, ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas says it's going to get even tighter as investigators learn more about last week's attack on the Capitol.
As the cases unfold, the federal prosecutor overseeing the FBI investigation has noticed a disturbing trend. Among the mob, the FBI has identified a growing number of former and current law enforcement officers and military officials as well.
Federal prosecutors are looking into cases which allege the rioters may have intended to capture and assassinate elected officials. Michael Sherwin is the acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia.
We anticipate that that's going to grow easily past 300 probably by the end of the day, and then exponentially increase into the weekend and next week.
D.C. Metro Police officers describing what they responded to.
Officer Michael Fanon, a father of four, was grabbed by the crowd as he pled with them, telling them he had kids.
I remember guys chanting, like, kill him with his own gun.
Fanon's partner eventually helping to free him and get him to safety. But he suffered a mild heart attack and spent 2 days hospitalized. One of the nearly 60 D.C. police officers who were injured in the siege.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. At least four members of Congress who were locked down during the attack tested positive for COVID-19, and President-elect Biden says it didn't have to happen.
I'm so proud of my congresswoman right here in the state of Delaware, Lisa Brunt Rochester, trying to hand out masks while people are lying on the floor, huddled up, and a Republican college refusing to put them on. What the hell's the matter with them?
Mr. Biden doubling down on his promise of 100 million COVID vaccines in his first 100 days in office. Governors say they're ready, provided they get the doses that they were promised. A number of them complaining about learning that a federal stockpile of vaccines is empty. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The top five at five from Como News.
Good evening, Como News Time 502. I'm Rick Fansize with Elisa Jaffe.
All of Washington State will remain in phase one of Governor Jay Inslee's coronavirus recovery plan, at least for now. In order to move to phase two, a region must see a decreasing trend of 10% or more in COVID cases per 100,000 people over a two-week span. New hospitalizations must also decline by 10% over that span, while intensive care units must have a less than 90% occupancy rate. The COVID-19 test positivity rate must also drop below 10%. All regions will continue under phase one until at least January 25th.
I'm Ryan Harris. King County has seen a 30% increase in new COVID cases since December 27th, and County Health Officer Dr. Jeff Duchin says he can't predict when it will level off, especially with the more transmissible virus strains out there.
We should expect the variant strain to become widespread here, and that will make the outbreak harder for us to control.
Duchin also says they've administered more than 60% of the vaccine doses they've received, but that the federal supply has been unreliable, which is a barrier to increasing vaccine capacity.
I'm Jeff Pogela. Pierce County is planning for a massive COVID vaccination effort.
We can't control the quantity of the vaccines that are allocated, but we can certainly build that infrastructure. So as soon as it arrives, we're ready to get shots in arms.
Emergency Management Director Jody Ferguson says they hope to have three high-volume drive-through sites set up as soon as they get more doses of the vaccines.
I'm Charlie Harger. The State Patrol and National Guard continue to line a fence that surrounds the state capitol and nearby buildings. The FBI has warned of credible threats against all 50 state capitals between now and Inauguration Day. Trooper Chelsea Hodgson tells us the State Patrol doesn't know of any specific threats to Olympia, but
whatever comes our way, we'll be prepared.
The FBI says Sunday and Inauguration Day Wednesday are at the highest risk.
I'm Sue Romero. Emotional public testimony on a bill that would allow the state to decertify officers with histories of use of force that ended in death. Elaine Simon was among the people who spoke about family members killed by police.
Whose third victim was my foster son.
Law enforcement agencies spoke against House Bill 1082.
And still to come on Como.
State Supreme Court releasing a lengthy and highly critical opinion of the sheriff in Benton County and charges alleged against Jerry Hatcher. I'm Carlene Johnson.
Seattle's most unique musician hospitalized. I'm Corwin Hake. How you can buy his records to help out.
504, traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. And here's Evan Smith.
Seen a new issue on westbound I-90 on the ramp to State Route 900. A disabled vehicle partially blocking the ramp there. Ramp restrictions in Parkland on eastbound 512 at Canyon Road. An accident partially blocking that on-ramp. In Stanwood Highway 532 near 64th Avenue Northwest, an accident is causing some westbound slowing in the immediate area. Traction tires advised over Stevens Pass and White Pass. A delay of 1 hour at the Edmonds Terminal for the ferry. And the Sounder North Line suspended until Monday due to increased landslide danger. Our next report is at 5:14. I'm Evan Smith, Como Traffic.
And a look at a weekend weather picture now. And here is meteorologist Abby Acone in the Como Weather Center.
Only sparse showers out there tonight, mainly impacting the Kitsap Peninsula. Overnight, a few areas of fog and potential, especially for the central and south end of Puget Sound. Overnight temps turning chilly in some communities down to the mid-30s to the low 40s. Make sure to grab a warm jacket if you are stepping outside. We're going for dry weather for your Saturday. That's great news to help to lower that landslide risk. But the chance for some light rain returns late Saturday. For the most part, by about 11 o'clock into early Sunday morning. I'm meteorologist Abby Acone in the Como Weather Center.
It's 52 degrees and a mix of clearing and some clouds in downtown Seattle. You're in the middle of 20 minutes of nonstop news on Como at 5:06.
Vancouver Congress member Jamie Herrera Butler is facing backlash from her vote to impeach President Trump. The five-term Republican said on the House floor she was not afraid of the political consequences.
My vote to impeach our sitting president is not a fear-based decision. I am not choosing a side. I'm choosing truth. It's the only way to defeat fear.
In a letter to Herrera Butler, a group called the Clark County Republican Women says they will, quote, do everything in our power to elect a conservative candidate who represents our values.
The state Supreme Court says that Benton County Sheriff Jerry Hatcher potentially committed a felony when he backdated an internal review of his actions related to a recall effort. Here's Como's Carlene Johnson.
The 47 pages from the high court is an expansion of their opinion 2 months ago that stated the recall effort for Sheriff Jerry Hatcher could continue. The court said the 8 charges against him were legally and factually sufficient. The recall petition was filed by Benton County Sheriff Jason Erickson. Alan Harvey is Erickson's attorney and tells me seeing that all 9 justices were in agreement that the charges, including hindering an investigation and intimidating witnesses, had factual basis, was a fairly big deal.
I would say they were disgusted with the abuse by the public official. That's my takeaway.
Sheriff Hatcher's repeatedly denied the allegations made against him at a rally last month in support of businesses reopening.
As a sheriff, I'm supposed to deliver public safety. That's what I was hired to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm going to protect the constitutional rights.
The committee to recall Sheriff Hatcher needs to gather nearly 14,000 signatures by May. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Are you turning to the internet to make extra money during the pandemic? Como's Amanda Factor has a warning about selling things online.
The Better Business Bureau reports a number of what they call overpayment scams. The buyer will claim they want to cover shipping or other fees because you've been such a great seller.
Once you've been overpaid, though, the scammer is going to ask for their money, ask for their funds back. They'll return your money, or you'll return their money, but afterward, you'll find that that initial payment was truly false. So the buyer's online payment is going to be denied.
Then you're out the money and your item. Ben Spradling with the BBB has some simple advice.
Don't ship an item before you receive a payment. If you ship before they pay, you will have no way to get your item back.
And if you do fall for a scam, connect directly with the platform you use to let them know what happened. Amanda Factor, Como News.
A veteran Seattle street musician is in the hospital tonight, and friends hope that you'll buy his records to help pay his bills. Como's Corwin Hake explains.
For decades, Richard Peterson and his trumpet entertained on the streets of Seattle, especially outside sporting events and especially around the holidays. This past year, just before Christmas, the 72-year-old musician was hospitalized.
He can't walk. You know, it's diabetes related.
Tom Dyer is founder of Olympia's Green Monkey Records.
Richard's been diabetic for quite some time.
Seattle's rock community has long embraced Peterson, and since the 1980s have helped him record 7 albums in his idiosyncratic style. Dyer has just released all of them for digital download.
All the money from his releases goes to Richard.
Peterson may be an autistic savant with an amazing memory for numbers, dates, and music. Dyer admits, as a musician and as a personality, Richard is not for all tastes.
I'm a fan. I really like Richard's music, and a lot of people think it's just kind of weird, but I'm not one of those people. I think it's great. He's an artist. He's pure to what he wants to do. And God knows that might be kind of weird, but he's pure.
You can order Peterson's music on Bandcamp under Green Monkey Records.
There just ain't nobody like Richard.
Corwin Hake, Como News.
And still ahead.
A playground gesture offers hope for parents everywhere. I'm Brian Calvert. Hang in there, Mom and Dad. You're doing just fine.
Time now for a Friday check at the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk in Como's Bill Schwartz. The Mariners have a full crew for the 2021 baseball season.
Shortstop J.P. Crawford, catcher Tom Murphy, and pitcher Rafael Montero all signed contracts, giving the M's control of their entire 40-man roster. Now, Murphy missed the whole 2020 season with a foot fracture, but should be ready to go for spring training, says manager Scott Service.
Murph is full go, 100% weight-bearing, doing his running, his full workouts. He feels great. We have been in constant contact with him.
Mariners also counting on the return of all-star outfielder Mitch Haniger. Former L.A. Chargers head man Anthony Lynn might emerge as a possible offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. Seattle earlier this week canned Brian Schottenheimer. Two NFL division playoff games tomorrow in chilly conditions at Lambeau Field. Green Bay hosts the L.A. Rams. Buffalo takes on the visiting Baltimore Ravens. Winning numbers in sports, winning combinations in tonight's Mega Millions lottery. We discuss 15 minutes away on Como News, and numerous reports indicate the Sounders are in talks with Swansea City about loaning forward Jordan Morris to that Wales soccer club. Sports at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Schwartz, Como News.
A big-name advertiser won't run ads during the big game. More from ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Another sign of the pandemic times.
The Coke is a Coke.
Coca-Cola won't run a Super Bowl ad, saying in a statement basically that times are tough and tough choices have to be made about where they spend their money right now. The soda giant spent $10 million on ads for last year's big game. Pepsi has also said it won't run ads for its flagship drink, but will spend money on commercials for other brands it owns, including Mountain Dew.
That's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
A kind gesture by a 10-year-old boy is making news across the continent this week, and as Como's Brian Calvert shares the story, might be a little encouragement for most parents struggling through the pandemic.
Kids learning at home and underfoot all day has caused stress and a general doubt among parents wondering if they're actually doing anything right. As a new parent myself, I'm totally with you. I watch helplessly as he struggles to connect with classmates and friends via the small screen, and all I can do is hope that he comes out of all this okay. Ravi Kalon likely wondered the same thing, as he hoped for the best when his child returned to school recently in Delta, BC. Ravi watched his son struggle, and he has had struggles himself. You see, Kalon is British Columbia's Minister of Jobs, Economic Recovery, and Innovation. Talk about a job with a little pressure these days. Matter of fact, Ravi's been under fire lately.
But I'm just going to keep doing what I do, what I always do. Continue to ask questions, and I'm going to continue to work hard.
But his message to supporters also included this.
And firstly, I want to thank everyone who came out and defended me and said kind things. I'm so grateful for that love.
Yesterday, Ravi's 10-year-old son came home from school and hugged his dad. I'm sure Ravi thought something was wrong, but before he could say a word, his son handed him a piece of paper and told his dad it was from his new friend at school. Ravi opened up the note and did the best he could to fight back the tears. The note read, quote, "Sitting with me outside felt better than anything. Thank you so much. I would like to ask you if I can start joining you guys outside." Our dad choked up and asked about the note's author and was told this was the new kid in class. His son noticed he was sitting all alone and without hesitation went and sat next to the boy. Soon other boys came over, and pretty soon our group was getting along famously. Ravi Kalon likely had wondered if he was doing enough to instill positivity, hope, and compassion in his child during the pandemic. Sounds like you did it, Dad. And thanks for reminding the rest of us that when we do our best, so will our kids. Brian Calvert, Como News.
Como News time is 5:13. A cat that went missing in Southern California 3 years ago is now back home. Norm Borgatello is the owner of Patches, who disappeared during the Montecito mudslides back in 2018. The feline was thought to be dead, but was recently found alive and dropped off at an animal shelter assistance program in Santa Barbara. Thanks to a microchip in Patches, the ASAP was able to reunite her with Borgatello safe and sound. The shelter shared the moment
on Instagram.
They really do have nine lives, eh?
Well, at least a few of them. That's great. Way to go, Patches. 5:14. Time now to get a check on traffic with Evan Smith at the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center.
And seeing an accident in Stanwood on Highway 532 westbound near 64th Avenue, still partially blocking with about a half mile backup approaching the scene of the accident there. In Sultan, an accident has come and gone since we last spoke on Highway 2 heading eastbound. This is approaching Old Owen Road, but there's still a bit of hesitation back to Sophie Road from there. A 1 hour delay for the ferry at the Edmonds Terminal. Traction tires are advised over White Pass and Stevens Pass, and the Sounder North line suspended until Monday due to landslide danger. Our next combo traffic is 5:24.
All right, latest on our weather situation, we will have some clouds and clearing overnight, temperatures dropping into the 30s and low 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, but don't be surprised if a little bit of fog starts off the weekend. Wind up with a high of 48 tomorrow afternoon. Rain tomorrow night into Sunday morning, and then some more clearing Sunday afternoon with a high of 50 on Sunday. Downtown Seattle now 52 degrees at 5:15.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Fansize with Elisa Jaffe. Our editor is Jeremy Grader.
More than 2 million people worldwide have died as a result of coronavirus. Johns Hopkins researchers confirmed the grim milestone today. COVID-19 is the ninth most fatal pandemic in history, the third deadliest in the past 100 years or so.
And a local snapshot on the pandemic today. King County, the state's most populous, has seen a 30% increase in COVID cases just since Christmas. More worrisome than that for local health authorities is the threat of the UK and other coronavirus variants that could make things even worse.
A retired three-star general is now in charge of the House investigation of the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Inez de la Cotera is following this for ABC News and spoke with Como's Taylor Van Sice.
Tell us about this man known as the Raging Cajun and why he was chosen by Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, so Lieutenant General Honore is someone who is very well respected, I think, for both sides of the aisle. He was remembered for his role in during Hurricane Katrina, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And so he's been tapped to conduct this investigation, which is just one, we should point out, just one of many investigations that is launching, or at least, we know that there are more House Democrats that are calling for more investigations. So you have a coalition of more than 30 House Democrats right now calling for an investigation into some of the Capitol tours that took place the day before the riots. They're calling those tours suspicious. They're claiming that some of those tours might have served as kind of recon. So they're asking, they're calling for an investigation into that. So I think you're going to see in the coming days more and more investigations either, starting or being called for, because there's a feeling that, obviously everything that happened in terms of security, there's a real concern there that security and the security officers just didn't do their work. And that's also why we saw, those resignations of the House Sergeant at Arms, the Senate Sergeant at Arms, and of the U.S. Capitol Police Chief.
It's those allegations of the tours that really caught my eye the last day or two, because I was under the impression that during the pandemic, nobody's able to get into a group and take a tour of, the U.S. Capitol or whatever. You're a credentialed member of the media who is allowed to be in the Capitol. What is access like?
So it's funny. I actually came out this afternoon to see what the kind of fortress around D.C. looks like. Access to the Capitol is obviously incredibly restricted. There's only a few ways in and out of the complex. They set up this non-scalable fence all around the complex. They have plenty of National Guardsmen on hand, inside the building and out. They checked my credentials, three times going in today again, and then just around the Capitol. So I'm in downtown D.C. right now. I just went for a walk to see what the scene looks like, and it really is a fortress. I mean, all of downtown D.C. is blocked off. You've got, obviously the Capitol area, but the area around the White House, the National Mall, the National Park Service announced today that they were closing the National Mall to the public starting today through January 21st, so the Thursday after inauguration. So it's eerie. It's a very, very eerie sight.
Come Wednesday, millions of our eyes are going to be focused on the Capitol again for the inauguration. From your perspective there on the ground in D.C., is the average viewer going to notice much damage to the Capitol? It's still a crime scene, after all.
It is still a crime scene, and again, that's why there are all these calls for investigation. It'll be interesting to see how the Biden team handles this. I think back to the DNC, and there was concern that could be really boring because of the pandemic. And I think they did a good job. I think, the way the DNC was conducted over Zoom, they did a pretty good job. keeping the momentum, or at least that was the feeling on the Democratic side. They were happy with how that unfolded. So they haven't released much details as to what's going to, you know, take place on Inauguration Day, at least not publicly. But I would imagine they're, you know, working hard behind the scenes to put a similar show on. There's obviously going to be some components that are going to be in person, but I would imagine there's also going to be some virtual, you know, aspects of it. We know the inaugural ball, for instance, will be held virtually.
ABC's Inez De La Cotera with us on Como News from Washington, D.C. Inez, thanks.
And that's Como's Taylor Van Sice.
Our Como News Time 520. Here's Jim Cheska with the Como Propel Insurance Money Updates.
It was a down week for U.S. stocks, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average slipping almost 1%, and both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite losing 1.5%. Today, the blue chip index, the Dow, dropped 177 points. The S&P eased 27, and that tech-heavy NASDAQ shed 114. An investigation into allegations of institutional racism at Seattle's Children's Hospital is officially underway. The hospital says that former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder of a renowned Washington, D.C. law firm will head an independent probe. In a blow to the e-commerce giant, some 6,000 Amazon workers at an Alabama warehouse have been given the okay to begin voting by mail in early February on whether they should form a union. A National Labor Relations Board hearing officer made that decision today. Amazon had been pushing for an in-person vote at that facility. That's Your Money Now. I'm Jim Cheska, Como News.
Catch Money News on Como at 20 and 50 past every hour. And speaking of money, a big bunch of it to be won. We'll talk more about some super big lotto prizes coming up with Bill Swartz next.
Stay home, stay connected, stay informed with Como News on your smart speaker.
Como News 1000 FM 97.7.
I'm Amanda Factor here.
Como keeps you connected to your world and the latest on the fight against coronavirus on the radio, online, all the time. Como News.